It's time again for a wild conversation with the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Here are Jess and Wiggy.
It's time for a wild conversation with Manita Prasad, zoologist at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. And drum roll, please, for this week's topic, Wiggy. Tigers. I'm so excited to talk about tigers.
I love tigers.
So do I.
Yeah.
I thought you guys would enjoy this topic.
And I know that you have one tiger at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
Yeah, we have Hannah. She is an absolute sweetheart.
And what kind of tiger is Hannah? Because it looks like there's a number of different subspecies of tigers.
Yeah, so she's an Amur or Siberian tiger.
And what's her backstory? How did she end up with you guys?
So she was born at the Seoul Zoo in Korea, which was our sister zoo at the time. So she was came to our facility when she was 1 year old, and she's lived with us ever since. And she's about 9 years old, 9 or 10 years old right now.
Oh, I love when I come down to visit the zoo, because I go right over to where you have all of the big cats, and she's always right against the fence.
Yes, she loves interacting with our guests.
So what are some of the different subspecies of tiger?
Okay, so historically, there were 9 subspecies of tigers, and they were found throughout much of Asia, so Turkey, China, Eastern Russia, as well as Indonesia. But in the early 1900s, there were 3 subspecies that went extinct. So there was the Bali or Balinese tiger, and it actually was the smallest of all the tiger species, very similar in size to the cougar. Then there was the Caspian tiger, which was found throughout Central Asia, but recent studies today have found that genetically it's very similar to the Amur or Siberian tiger. So that might not have been a distinct subspecies.
I see. I'm picturing a white tiger that kind of looks like a Siberian tiger. Is that a type of species, or is it just, you know, the fur is just a different color?
It's just a different color. So it's a recessive gene. So just like how blue eyes in humans are recessive genes, whereas predominantly a majority of the population has brown eyes, right?
So it wouldn't be considered a snow tiger. I think I'm thinking of a snow leopard, to be honest.
Yeah, there is a snow leopard, and very white, but doesn't have stripes like a tiger. They do have spots.
So for the most part, Manita, these tigers are found, like you say, in Asia, or, you know, like
Indonesia.
Yeah. What about Africa, like the jungle, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, mostly Asia and Indonesia. There is a good population in India as well. They are actually the largest of the wild cats, and the sad thing is that there's 6 of the 6 subspecies that are remaining today, all of them are endangered or critically endangered.
Oh, that makes my heart sad.
Yeah, and it's only estimated that there is about 4,000 individuals remaining in the wild.
Oh, my goodness. And mainly in Indonesia and Asia.
Well, the most numerous would be the Bengal tiger, and that occurs in India.
Right.
So, and why is the population diminishing? Like, what is the threat to the wild population?
So there are a bunch of different reasons, but the primary threats are poaching and habitat loss. So even though that poaching is illegal, it is still a very big problem. Tigers are still hunted for their pelts, for their bones, other body parts, and for trophies.
Ugh, that just makes me so sick to my stomach when they're hunted for trophies.
Yeah.
And of course, their habitat is endangered because of, you know, it being bulldozed down usually.
Yeah, exactly. Like, tigers really rely on forests and areas with tall grasses. They're very secretive. So development, human encroachment, it really contributes to habitat fragmentation, which causes tigers to move from traditional territories. And unfortunately, a lot of those times would be closer to human settlements, which we see quite a bit of conflict.
Really? So would they, let's say, in like Bali or Indonesia or something like that, they would wander into a town?
Yeah. So another issue facing tigers is loss of prey species. So their favorite, well, one of their favorite prey items are wild pigs. But wild pigs are also a popular trophy species. Oh. So when prey species in the wild start diminishing, they kind of have to branch out and look for other sources of prey items. And unfortunately, closer to human settlements, there's a lot of farmed animals, which then become easy targets for tigers.
Oh, that's so sad because it's just a chain reaction, you know, and it kind of starts with the humans.
Yep.
What are the current conservation efforts being made to help save these species of tiger?
So research is a big one for tiger species. There is still a lot of gaps in knowledge. We need to learn more about the different subspecies' behaviors, their territories, what prey species they prefer, their distribution. The challenge with tigers is naturally they're solitary animals. They are also very nocturnal in their habitats, but they are incredibly stealthy. So they're really challenging to observe. A lot of the observations, you need to use cameras with motion sensors to catch their movements.
Can tigers coexist with other big cats, like lions?
Their ranges generally don't overlap.
Ah, I see. Yeah. Right, because lions typically inhabit, what, the savannah?
The savannah, so more open areas. And they live on the edge of forests. They don't actually utilize a lot of the forest like the tigers do.
Right. Now, is there a way that we here can help the conservation efforts?
Well, education is always a big one. Even though, like, zoos and aquariums, we always try and engage people to learn about different species, learn about the plights they're facing in the wild, and to try and engage and increase awareness. So just talking about tigers is fantastic. Supporting conservation efforts by visiting local zoos and aquariums. A lot of the education that is done from organizations that are supporting tigers actually are done in local communities that share habitat with tigers, because a lot of the times people that live with them fear them or consider them a nuisance because of their livestock. So the challenge is trying to educate people and teach people to live and cohabitate with tigers, you know, help them build tiger-proof enclosures for their livestock, that sort of thing, so they can coexist more peacefully.
I guess it would be kind of like coexisting with bears here in British Columbia, let's say, because we know that, you know, their habitat is starting to be bulldozed down with all of the houses and the condos and stuff going up. So you always see them kind of come down towards different communities like Coquitlam or North Shore or something like that. But there are ways that we can, you know, help protect them.
Right. Yeah. It's just a matter of being more aware and modifying your behaviors so you're minimizing the attractants to the area that you don't want them in.
This is a wild conversation with zoologist Manita Prasad at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. We're talking all about tigers this week on the show, and we'll be back after this.
Journey back in time and walk with the dinosaurs at Greater Vancouver Zoo's new Mesozoic Adventure. Explore, learn, discover at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Visit gvzoo.com.
Now back to a wild conversation with the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Here are Jess and Wiggy.
Hello and welcome back to part two of A Wild Conversation with zoologist Manita Prasad from the Greater Vancouver Zoo. And we're really enjoying this week's topic because we are talking all about tigers.
When we get down there, that's the first animal I'm going to visit.
You're going to go say hello to Hannah.
I'm going to go say hello to Hannah. Is that okay, Manita?
Of course. I'm sure she'd love to meet you guys.
Okay, awesome. And so can I like touch her and pet her and feed her and take her home?
No, we don't actually work close contact. And because large cats are one of the species that are affected by the COVID-19 virus, have a lot of protective measures in place. So our staff are fully protected and are still wearing masks around some of the animals that we know are susceptible to COVID-19.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that. When COVID first kind of came out, there was reports of tigers at zoos being affected by it.
Yeah, exactly. We're actually researching our options for vaccinating some of our collection against COVID-19 at the moment.
Are there any, what other animals at the zoo there could be affected by COVID?
Primates, mustelids, which are animals like badgers. And those are kind of the main ones at our facility anyway.
Right. Wow, that's so interesting. Speaking of interesting, let's get into some facts, shall we?
Okay. So a tiger's feet are padded, which enables them to silently stalk and ambush prey. Which is great because they are nocturnal hunters. So it's already very quiet at night when they're hunting. So they need to have stealth and quietness on their side.
I'm just picturing that scene from The Jungle Book, you know, where he's behind.
What was the tiger's name in that movie?
Shere Khan.
Shere Khan.
Shere Khan. Yes, yes. One of my favorite. Bagheera is the
jaguar.
Is the black
yes,
jaguar.
Right.
Yeah. He's my favorite Disney movie.
Same. Yeah. Well, oh, I love it.
It would actually be a leopard, though, because jaguars are only in South America.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right.
Yeah, figure that out, Disney.
All right, what's another fact?
Okay, so a tiger's stripe pattern is unique to each individual, kind of like our fingerprints. So if you were to actually shave the hair off a tiger, the pattern is even on its skin.
No way.
What?
Yeah, it's the funniest thing to see. I remember the first time I saw, I think it was a lynx that we were working with. We had to shave an area on its body, and it had a spotty belly.
Oh, that is...
That's like a tattoo almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the coolest thing.
Have you ever given Hannah a haircut?
Nope. We never had to.
Okay.
We've had to cut little hair mats out of her hair, but... not go down to the skin.
I'm picturing a hairless tiger right now with just like tattoos of stripes on them. Now, when you have to cut those mats out of Hannah, like how do you go in there and do that? Like, does she allow you, or do you have to kind of tranquilize her a little bit?
Yeah, so that's a lot of the behavioral training that we do with her. So we teach her to stand up on the fence so we can have contact with different areas of her body and take a full look at her body and do a health check on her belly. So that's part of the training that we do with the cats. We don't ever work close contact with our cats for safety reasons, but we do train for health and welfare purposes.
So, and are they pretty receptive to, you know, to the lessons or to the training?
Yeah, they really are. It really depends on the individual cat because they each have their own personality. So some like Hannah really enjoy it. And some like we have one of our lionesses who she has her favorite people. Let's just say that.
She's a bit of a diva.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have time for two more facts.
Okay. So tigers are very protective of their prey items. They won't eat at the kill site and will cover their carcass with leaves, dirt, grass, even rocks if they have to leave for a while.
Wow.
That is a smart thing to do.
Don't go back to the scene of the crime. They're smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And another little neat fact that has boggled science for several years. So tigers actually have little eye spots, which are little white spots on the back of their ears. And we're not exactly sure why they have them.
I wonder, so they could see behind themselves? I don't know. Or like a sensitivity kind of thing to, I don't know.
A lot of animals, when they have eye spots elsewhere on their body, it's to confuse predators, right? So that, you know, the eye spots will be on the opposite end. So if their hind end gets damaged, it's not going to be a fatal wound. But with tigers, they don't really have, like as a keystone predator, they don't really have predators themselves other than humans. So we're not sure why they would have evolved that patterning.
Oh, interesting. I'm picturing, you know those butterflies that look like they've got eyes on the backs of their wings?
Sure, yeah, the owl butterfly.
Yeah, to kind of like deter, you know, things from eating them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's kind of what it is like, but it's just big bright white spot. It could just be decorative. Who knows?
All right, let's get into some trivia.
Okay.
So we've got six questions today, Wiggy.
Okay.
You got the pen and the paper
there?
Got
the pen. You're up. Yeah, you're up. 5-4 since we started keeping score.
And hopefully, the listeners at home can join in the trivia and play from their car or wherever they are this morning.
Okay. Here we go. Tigers mark their territory by A, scratching trees, B, scent marking, C, pooping everywhere, or D, all of the above.
I'm going to go with all of the above.
I'm going to say scent marking.
Oh, Jess is actually correct. It's all of the above.
Pooping everywhere.
Yep, that's. I guess that's part of how they scent mark, but it's just to let other tigers know that, hey, there's already a tiger here, so bugger off.
Okay, huh? All right.
Yeah, I'm picturing them walking up to a fire hydrant or something
right,
like that.
Right, yeah.
All right, trivia question number two.
Tiger cubs depend on their mother for food and won't hunt for themselves until they are A, 6 months, B, 1 year, C, 2 years, or D, 3 years.
I'm saying 6 months.
Oh, I'm going 1 year.
Oh, both of you are incorrect. It's actually 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so tiger cubs are incredibly dependent on their mother. So they spend a lot of time learning how to hunt and protect themselves. So they will start, mom will start teaching the cubs how to hunt at around 8 to 10 months. But it's not until they're 2 years old where they actually leave mom, branch out on their own and have to fend for themselves.
Basically teenagers.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, trivia question number three.
Tigers have a hunt success rate of A, 10%, B, 50%, C, 75%, or D, 100%.
I'm going with 75.
You're going to go that high?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50%.
Oh, you're both incorrect. It's only 10%.
What?
Really? Okay, that's not surprising, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one out of every 10 attempts, they're actually successful.
Wow. So they could go a while without eating then.
Yeah, they usually eat on average about once a week, and that's why you can understand why they're so protective of their prey items.
Yeah, no kidding.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah, very valuable. Okay, we have time for one more.
Oh, no, there's so many good ones left.
Okay, fine. Okay. Two more.
True or false? There are more tigers in captivity in the U.S. than there are in the wild.
Tiger King.
I'm going to say true, yes. Yeah, I know. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're both correct. It is true. Which is a really disheartening statistic.
Well, it is, you know. And, like, I mean, look at Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin.
She's got the majority of them.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay, right. Last one.
True or false? Tigers cannot purr.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false as well.
Oh, it's actually true.
Really?
They can't purr?
They can't purr, so they have a stiff cartilage that runs from their hyoid bone, which is a U-shaped bone in the front of the neck, to their skull, which prevents them from purring. But they do produce other sounds like grunts, growls, roars, moans, snarls, and they chuff, they hiss, and they gasp.
Wow.
Just no purring.
Oh, they look all cuddly sometimes.
Yeah, they do. But their chuff makes them sound really, really cuddly, too. So.
Oh,
that's one of the things I can show you when you come visit.
Oh, can't wait.
We're going to work on that so we can get down there and film some cool video and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
Thanks again, Manita, for joining us this week on A Wild Conversation as we chat all about tigers.